Hello, my loves, and welcome to the Purposeful Lifestyle Development Podcast, where we discuss all things thought work and manifestation, but we use neuroscience and the study of the brain to do so. I'm your host, Tessa Spizak. I'm a board-certified practitioner, master life and health coach, and seasoned executive speaker. If you're ready to create your highest value lifestyle and turn your dream life into a reality, you're in the right place. Let's get right into today's episode. Hello, hello, my friends. Thank you for being here. As always, I am so grateful for you spending this time with me. And I'm also so excited to say it is officially season 2 of the Purposeful Lifestyle Development Podcast. Massive, massive thank you to everyone who's been part of the conversation so far, and welcome to anyone who is just joining in now. As I mentioned in the last episode, this season I'm going to be highlighting some of the questions that I get most frequently or topics that our community just really seems to want to dive deeper into. And you can let me know your questions, thoughts, or comments on social media. You can message me on my website or email me at info@purposefullifestyledevelopment.com. As you can see, the topic of this session today is rewiring our brains for gratitude. And this is definitely a topic I've been asked about frequently. We really set our foundation for the coming conversations last season. And if you get tripped up about any of the terminology or really just need a refresher, episode 9, the neuroscience of manifestation, my last session, that should really be helpful for you. But as always, I'll make sure to keep these concepts really easy to follow along with however you're listening in. So whether you're driving, doing the life things, or even if you're sitting, just enjoying taking some notes, I want to make sure everyone can follow along. So let's do it. First, what is gratitude? Gratitude is the quality of being thankful. It's the readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. So we're going to be answering these questions about gratitude today. How do we naturally feel more grateful? Can we make gratitude a more natural state? What's happening in the brain? And also, what happens when we complain? Thankfully, the link between gratitude and the brain is a really well-researched topic and one that I am very grateful to discuss. I'd like to start with a quote from Sonia Lyubomirsky. She's a prominent positive psychology researcher and an author of several books on happiness. She says, quote, "Gratitude is an antidote to negative emotions, a neutralizer of envy, hostility, worry, and irritation. It is savoring. It is not taking things for granted. It is being present-oriented." It's a quote from her book, The How of Happiness, a Scientific Approach to Getting the Life You Want. Her research is really fascinating, and it discusses gratitude as both a pathway to experiencing more positive emotion, as well as a motivator for self-improvement. And clearly, I am along the same thought pattern. Really, in current neural study, we see clearly that active practices in gratitude really increase neurodensity that lead to higher emotional intelligence. And let's get into that. What is happening in the brain when we're practicing gratitude or feeling grateful for something? Well, my friends, we get a little cocktail of happy hormones. A little dopamine, a little serotonin. When the neural circuitry in our brainstem releases dopamine, it basically feels really good. We want it again. We want it to happen again. It triggers positive emotion like optimism and confidence. And also, when our brain in that anterior cortex releases serotonin, that also enhances our mood. It's kind of similar to an antidepressant. It's improving our willpower and our motivation. And since our brain really likes these things, it wants it to happen more. So the more we create those gratitude circuits, the more we create it, the stronger those neural pathways become, and the more likely we are going to recognize when something's going right instead of moving into that fight or flight and searching for what's going wrong, searching for something to complain about. It's Hebb's Law, neuroscience. We've all heard it. It's neurons that fire together, wire together. Remember our talk on neuroplasticity? That's the brain's ability to form those new neural connections, the new neural pathways through life. And that's how it works. The more you do it, the more your brain wants you to do it. So how do we get into practicing more gratitude? Well, first, we have to fine-tune what we're focusing on, first and foremost. Regardless of where you're starting, what your current thoughts or what your current emotional state is, you have to start taking account of what's going on in your headspace. Start noticing what your initial thought is and start taking account for maybe what you even feel programmed to think. Start noticing what makes you feel good, what thoughts, what actions make you feel good. And same on the other hand, what makes you feel not so good? What thoughts, what actions? Now, of course, we have to stay realistic here. I'm not talking about some dreamland. I want you to stay in your own life. This is purposely creating and adjusting our own lifestyle. So what's the most satisfying part of your day? Or what can you make more satisfying? This doesn't have to be grandiose. Pick even the smallest instances. Start at the very beginning. How do you wake up in the morning? What do you think before you even open your eyes? Are you shocked by your blaring alarm clock and dreading the day already? Even if that was the case, what happens when you are determined to be grateful? I'm going to interrupt myself here. You may have heard it a million times, but I feel like I need to reiterate, be okay with baby steps. Friends, you don't need to swing from dreading your day to frolicking with whimsy like a Disney princess. No. In the words of Abraham Hicks, we're just going to reach for a better feeling thought. So here's a normal one. Here's maybe you're thinking in the morning, your initial thought is, oh my God, I hate my job. I don't want to do this. Start searching for a better feeling thought. Instead of, I hate my job. I don't want to do this. Think, at least they pay me. At least at this point of the day, I get a moment to myself. At least I like the lunch place next door. At least on the drive, I get to listen to that book or that podcast, jam out to my favorite music. See, these are better feeling thoughts. Start there. I mean, I love the driving example. I feel like I have fully changed my brain on this one. Oh, traffic. Oh my gosh. You might be familiar in your area. I am talking about Dallas, Texas traffic. I know it's not the worst. I see you. I have listeners in New York City and Mexico City and LA where the traffic is massive. But oh, that didn't mean I didn't get beside myself with these people. And it's because I used to do a lot of traveling for work. I went meeting to meeting, presentation to presentation. I was basically in and out of my car in a busy downtown area all day, every day. And let me tell you, there are times that I would be yelling things in my head that I cannot say on this podcast unless I would like to earn myself an explicit warning. And I didn't enjoy that. But as someone who's always been fascinated by the concept of being in control and conditioning and maybe positively manipulating my brain, I really like to challenge my own thought process. So I set a goal for myself, one that I really didn't think was exactly reasonable, but you know, it was one of those I was happy to shoot for the moon and land amongst the stars, that concept. So my big impossible goal was I wanted to be grateful for traffic. And I know that sounds crazy, but seriously, I spent so much time in traffic that it really meant I couldn't do my job, you know, give my speeches, shake the hands, smile at people, make people feel good if I spent that big of a percentage of my day, you know, really annoyed with the horrid drivers around me. And to tell you the truth, it took some time, but I did it. I kind of joked and called it voluntarily delusional, but it worked. And it felt silly at first and took a lot of attempts, but it truly worked. I did it. And I'm going to walk you through it. So please put your thing as the example. It might feel a little ridiculous, but this is how you trick your brain. You might have experienced this as a kid. I feel like we all did. And if not, I'm just outing myself as a little strange kid, but that's okay. But did you ever pretend that you were in a music video or that there was just kind of cameras around you? So like you strutted your stuff, like you were all that. I don't know. Maybe that's an early 90s kid millennial thing. I digress. But you know what I'm getting at? Pretend, go through the actions like you enjoy that thing, as if someone was watching, or that you were watching, your higher self was watching, however you want to think about it. But just that traffic example, I would sit in my car, and even if I felt a little stressed, I would still sigh a sigh of relief, and I would think the best feeling thought that I could. Even say it out loud, say, "Oh, I'm so glad that I get this uninterrupted time in between my meetings, and no one can bug me. I'm in the car, so of course I can't answer your call or your text. Sorry, but this is my me time." Or, "Ooh, how lucky am I that in the middle of my workday, I get to play my little silly happy music or jam out to some heavy stuff if I want. Or I get to take a mental break if I want to, listen to a podcast, a book, or get lost in my own thoughts. Or even better, you know, two birds, one stone. I get to prep for my session in the car and I'm going to be amazing. Sit there and think about how good I was going to be." So keep doing that. Keep doing that. If you were in that example, say every time you saw a person who's driving like they've never even seen a car, let alone been in one, that you get all flustered because they're driving like super crazy, try to change your thought in that moment. Again, baby steps are okay. Does it feel better to, I don't know, maybe laugh at them? That's okay. They're not going to know. Say, "Ooh, boy, I'm so grateful I do not have to be in the passenger seat with that person. Good Lord." Or just maybe even being grateful that you are not next to them so you didn't have to have that early morning scare. Be grateful you didn't just see an accident. Maybe now take it a step further. You really want to be grateful for that morning traffic? Well, if you know that there's traffic on a certain day or going to that certain destination, maybe make your favorite tea or grab your favorite coffee beforehand. Now you can find yourself in a situation like, "Ooh, you guys driving all wild, you take as long as you want. I left with plenty of time. I get my little treat, my little music. You guys go ahead and stress out because over here I feel fine." And I'm telling you, I really got there. I really found myself almost with an excited little twinge of my me time when I noticed traffic backing up. And so here's another one. When I first started on TikTok, I had a video that got pretty big, pretty quick. I think about 40,000 within the first little bit. But I was joking about how I like to Hallmark the heck out of my life. And it's a silly way to say it, but I do think it's a bit of an acquired skill, just like the driving thing. Don't get me wrong. We've all been through some really, really dark days. You know, stuff that just doesn't make sense. Things that really aren't fair at all. But I have been able to create a thought pattern in myself that I kind of consider a superpower. It makes me untouchable, at least permanently, even if I'm hurting temporarily. I've been able to 1,000% convince myself that my pain is only temporary and everything is going to work out in my favor. And I'm going to teach you how to make this your superpower too. It really feels like freedom. It's just the power of autonomy over self. Let me explain. It all has to do with gratitude. When you practice gratitude, your brain gets what it wants. It feels safe. Its needs are met. If you think back to the hierarchy of needs by Maslow, it's a few sessions back. Giving and receiving gratitude is the way up the tiers of those fulfillable needs, right? Those are those really getting close to self-actualization needs. But when you can do it for yourself, that's everything. Be able to find gratitude in everything. Everything. I'm talking from the smallest thing to the most massive, even when the big ones feel awful. Know and believe that you get to choose if something is working for you or against you. You can choose to find the silver lining. It's there, whether you choose to see it or not. And on the large scale, I know I'm going to touch on this. I understand that it may feel morbid. It may feel like things you don't want to share with anyone else, but that's okay. Whatever you walk through your whole day and romanticize it any way you can. Again, we're fine-tuning that focus, fine-tuning your focus on better feeling thoughts. You will find them and then do the things that feel better. Maybe that's making a list, a physical list of positive aspects of counting your blessings. Keep going and going, and I promise you will shock yourself how many things you can come up with. No aspect is too big or too small. And then incorporate it into your whole day. When you wake up, don't drudge out of bed. Take that extra 5 seconds. Take a few extra deep breaths. Be grateful for just that moment. Be grateful you woke up. Maybe stretch your body, have that mind-body connection just for a second. That's only for you. You're the only one that can enjoy this. Then when you wash your face, let the water feel good. Let the suds or the serum or the lotion feel it into your skin and be grateful that you get a second to care for yourself or that you have the means to do so. Then make your coffee or your tea or your water, whatever you like in the morning. When you take that first sip, really notice it. Take it with your eyes closed if you need to. Taste it and let it feel good. And do this all day with all the aspects. It can be the most practical things. I've talked to a few people that wanted to touch on maybe awful bosses or managers, just really not liking your work life right now. You can baby step these thoughts too. Try this. Oh, I am so grateful about the patience I am learning to deal with because of this buffoon. I have gained a whole nother level of understanding and emotional control because I have to hear this nonsense all day. And if I can handle them, I know I have the strength to handle anyone. Or even another direction, you know, I am so glad that I have had this experience because working here has taught me exactly what I don't want. So when I find a new place, I know I can avoid this. Or here's a harder one. I've had a lot of people mention lately how to move forward from real tragedy, including death of a loved one. How am I supposed to feel grateful for that? And I'm sorry to say that you don't. You can never be grateful for that loss. But as someone who has unfortunately lost a lot of people and in my immediate circle too, I can help. You can still be grateful. You be grateful, so beyond grateful that you were lucky enough to experience time with them, to know them, that you got to be influenced by or loved by them. Or a harder one, be grateful that you're strong enough that this loss doesn't break you, that you can become stronger than you've ever imagined, that while it was the most intense emotion, you were able to take whatever you learned from however you grew from this experience, and you're somehow able to give this energy back in a way that that's honoring. Does that make sense? Like I said, unfortunately, I've dealt with this as well, and most recently, I lost a dear friend, someone who had become my business partner and a confidant, you know, very part of my regular routine. And he lost his life in a very public, traumatic, and incredibly devastating way. And while I could never, ever be grateful for that loss, I can still have gratitude. I am so grateful for the person that I got to know, for the mentorship, for the friendship. Man, I'm so grateful for all of that. And I have gained gratefulness in understanding the strength that I've gained in the healing process. I'm grateful that despite no longer having my Monday calls with Jonathan, even though that still really hurts almost 2 years later, I am so grateful that instead of my Monday calls, I was given the opportunity to have the inspiration to fill that empty place on Mondays. And now I have a conversation with you all. I get to talk to you all. And I'm so grateful that the pain of this situation brought me to do this, and it's something that I know he would be so proud of, and I'm so grateful that he would be so proud. I mean, gosh, this is session 10, and in our first 9 sessions, I'm so grateful I've got to reach people in 25 separate countries. Of course, I miss my call, but he inspired me to do this and talk to people throughout now North and South America, Europe, Asia, Oceania. And again, I'm so grateful of how proud he'd be. Gratitude really rewires your brain for that gratitude. If you can find gratitude in anything, even the hardest things, you will find yourself living for you and finding your pleasures and your desires much more easily. And again, I touch on this all the time. We can't pour from an empty cup. So to do for anyone, to do for others, and to give back into the world, you must fill your own cup. That's how you pour into others. And if you want to pour beautiful things and you want to pour gratitude and gratefulness, you have to start fine-tuning on what you focus on. And this is where I give my warning. I hope by this point you really understand that we can really affect the brain by the way we choose to see the world. And we know the positive aspects now. We've been covering this. But what happens if you don't? What happens if we don't do this? What happens if we chronically choose to complain? Maybe for someone who is a chronic complainer, someone who can't seem to find the gratitude in anything, what's going on in their brain? As we know in science, everything has an equal and opposite reaction. While repeatedly practicing gratitude makes it much easier for you to be naturally grateful, repeatedly complaining wires the brain to find complaints much more natural. That becomes the default thought pattern. But here's the thing. Just as gratitude activates the hippocampus, complaining begins to shrink it. This is the area of the brain that's critical to problem solving and intelligent thought. And it might sound scary, but it's true. Alzheimer's, it primarily destroys the same part of the brain, that hippocampus, the same part that shrinks when we chronically complain. Another part of the brain that it affects is it's releasing cortisol, your stress hormone. Instead of, like we talked about earlier, our feel-good hormones like serotonin and dopamine, the stress hormone, this cortisol, is related to our fight or flight. So when we complain, we are more likely to complain again and again and become chronic complainers. And when this happens, our brain not only moves into that fight or flight, so we feel the need to make a decision, we lessen our ability to problem solve. And again, for the sake of this conversation, to be able to find the things to be grateful for. So while it's not impossible to change, either pathway is going to become easier and stronger. If the pathway to negativity becomes easier, it's going to be much harder to find that positive thought. But the opposite is also true. The more we practice gratitude, the more we practice good feeling thoughts, man, the harder it gets. The harder it gets to complain, the harder it is to not find the silver lining, to find the thing to complain about, because that's what no longer feels safe in the brain. So remember this, we all have the ability to change our initial thought patterns, any initial response, anything to something that feels better, something that brings more joy. Do this by always reaching for the better feeling thought, and your brain will start to look for it for you. My friends, don't be afraid to romanticize your life. Literally, in all means. Don't forget to smell the flowers, literally. Notice the sunset and the sunrise. Find the things that feel good. And finally, allow yourself to feel gratitude, even for the hardest things. Be grateful for what you've overcome and be grateful for all you've done. You are the creator of your own life by being the decision maker of what you focus on. But all right, my loves, that's where I'll leave us today. I want to thank you so much for joining in on this conversation with me. And each week, every Monday, we're going to be posting a new episode, going a little bit deeper into the conversation of what you can do to train your brain on purpose to really allow for the lifestyle that you want to live. Until next time, my loves, in the meantime, here's to your health and your happiness.